Greetings, friends and radio listeners, and welcome to our program today. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us as we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Today's message by my father, Brother Hardy, is from his classic landmark teaching, Satan's Complete Defeat. Find out what Satan does not want you to know about him and how he operates in the spiritual realm. Who is he? Where did he come from? Is he a God possessing omnipotence? How much power does he have on earth? So much more in this devil-chasing message, Satan's Complete Defeat.
They proceeded to take Jesus, to scourge him, crucify him, kill him, thinking and supposing that they were preserving their place and that they were secure in the vineyard forever, but instead God had used poetical justice on the devil and the rulers of the world when he took death and destroyed him that had the power of death, even Satan. Jesus, to fulfill the first part of his ministry, had to be the sin offering. He had to deal with sin before he could set up his literal kingdom, before he could dispose of Satan entirely, completely, and eternally. Therefore, as God's perfect sacrifice and as God's perfect lamb, Jesus gave himself to be crucified and slaughtered. Satan didn't do it. Man didn't do it. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. In fact, when Satan knew that he was duped, and realized that if Jesus went to the cross, that he was doomed, he tried to do everything possible to stop him. Tried to throw him off the brow of the city. Tried to stone him. Jesus disappeared amongst the people. Tried to kill him when he was a little baby. Jesus was protected by God because he was going to use poetical justice on the devil. He was going to become the perfect sacrifice and the sin offering. He was going to deal with sin. He was going to become obedient to God's will, obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, God would high exalt him, give him a name and a kingdom above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, even Satan's knee, even all of the ruling angels and all of the angelic hosts, even all of mankind, even every disobedient spirit in hell, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth. And every tongue, Satan, fallen angels, fallen man, as well as faithful angels and redeemed children of God, would confess Jesus is the Lord to the glory of the Father. When that happened, Jesus satisfied the righteousness of God in his law. Took his own blood, washed the sins of the world away. By his own death, destroyed Satan and had the power of death. Descended into the lower parts of the earth, where the spirits were in captivity and in prison. Liberated and delivered them. Tore the gates off of hell. Led captivity captive. Ascended on high. Gave gifts to mankind. Even his body made of apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. Miracles, helps, governments, tongues and the diversities of tongues. Yea, gave a body, his church, that he manifested himself, motivating, energizing his body, the church. That would be the great implement and weapon in the hands of the Holy Ghost to utterly begin to claim God's kingdom back. Yea, and for 2,000 years, the Holy Ghost of God has been energizing the body of Christ, the church of God, snatching the lost and the bound and the bruised out of the kingdom of Satan, translating them into the kingdom, which now is only in the spiritual aspect and part and phase of God's program, translating them to the kingdom of his dear Son. Shortly, God is about to rapture the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ out, so that once and for all, upon Satan and his kingdom and his followers, he can rain his judgment, his cup of wrath and fury and sentence against the fallen Lucifer. That old serpent, that dragon, the devil, all of these angels, all of fallen mankind that still obeys Satan is bent on following him to his same doom. During the tribulation, God pours out his cup of wrath, for it's the time of God's great wrath. Satan realizes that his imminent doom is right before him. Seeing that God has taken out the greatest adversary of all against him, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that God's great wrath and judgment is about to fall upon his kingdom and followers, one more last desperation, he marshals his fallen angelic host again into his army. One more time in one last desperate, final assault, I will ascend above the heights. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will set upon the mount of congregation. I will be like the Most High. He leads his armies again, as Revelations, the 10th chapter, depicts, from the earth through the first atmospheric heavens, past the principalities and powers of the second heavens, and as he breaks the atmosphere of the third heavens, the paradise, the capital city, the throne of God, once more, Michael and the faithful angels meet him, and a fiery, fiery battle is set in array for Michael and the faithful angels attack Satan and his fallen angels, in the Bible said in Revelations. And there was a great war in heaven, for Satan and his fallen angels were joined in combat by Michael and the faithful angels, and a mighty battle ensued. But once again, Michael and the faithful angels prevail. Satan and his evil angels are defeated, cast down and out of heaven, hell to the earth. Defeated, frustrated, disillusioned, doom sealed, knowing of a certainty and of a truth that the lake of fire, destruction, the eternal loss of the dream and vision of ascending, exalting, sitting on a throne as God, gone forever. Let me read it to you. In the 12th chapter of Revelations, and the 7th verse, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in the heavens, forever cast out, cast away. No more will he ascend up even unto the second heavens. And the great dragon, which was called, cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And John the Revelator said, after I saw the battle, Michael defeats Satan, that old dragon, that old serpent, the devil, and cast him and his angels out, and no more will they be found in the heavens. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, because Satan and his angels finally and absolutely and completely is cast out, never no more to wreak havoc and rebellion and suffering. No more pain. Rejoice, ye heavens. Rejoice, for now has come your salvation. And again, you are a part of God's kingdom and his Christ and his redeemed children that have overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has a short time cast out of the heavens. God takes control. Christ the anointed is ruling. The promise and the surety that saints will soon join him and share in the rule. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Satan comes down with great wrath, knowing his time is short. The only thing on earth now that's not a part of his kingdom, the nation Israel, the remnant of God in Israel, that when he comes down, she is delivering a man child and he gets set to devour it, but God miraculously delivers it. And Satan turns against the woman Israel to devour her, but God causes her to flee to Petra, to the rock where he's prepared a place of safety, until he fulfills his indignation and wrath on the devil and his kingdom and his followers. God supernaturally causes the earth to open up, swallow the water, the trouble of the devil. She flees in hidden safety. For God always knows how to deliver the righteous and to reserve the ungodly unto the day of judgment. The church, safe, raptured, resurrected, glorified, seated in heavenly places on the right hand of Jesus, joining in Jesus and God, taking over again the kingdoms of the heavens, watching now as God protects Israel, and he shall fulfill in the millennial the promises to the fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. For now, for the gospel, Paul said, they are cursed, but for the father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's sake, they are blessed. God's grafting them back in. Can't get at God. Can't get at Jesus. Can't get at the Holy Ghost. Can't get at the faithful angels. Can't get at the resurrected raptured church. Goes after Israel. God protects her. Then turns to the remnant that didn't flee. But God has sent these two witnesses, Enoch, Elijah, the miracle-working power. Satan uses the Antichrist to try to destroy him. God hinders, through the armies of the Antichrist, Satan, flings him to destroy Israel, the remnant of God's people, marshals all of his forces, gathers in the valley of Jehoshaphat, by Mount Megiddo, Armageddon. And all of a sudden, when he sets his attack to destroy and finish Israel, the remnant, and the people of God. A great wonder and phenomenon takes place in heaven.
The heavens are open up. Jesus sitting on the white horse, the true and the faithful witness, with his garment dipped in blood on, having the name written on, his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, leads the armies out of heaven to the earth against Satan, his fallen angelic host, his armies of the Antichrist and evil nations that followed. Jesus with the saints and angelic host from heaven, with the remnant on earth, and join the battle against Satan. Jesus' feet lands upon the Mount of Olives, and it's split in half, the valley of Jehoshaphat becomes a slaughtering trough, actually and literally. And in a very short span of time, with the brightness of his coming, with the sword of his mouth, with the word of his omnipotence, with the faithful angels, with the resurrected, glorified church sons of God, with the remnant set array against the Antichrist and his armies, Satan and his angels, the battle is enjoined, and the blood of the slain of the wicked armies of the Antichrist flow under the horse's bridle. And in a very short space of time, all of the angelic fallen host of Satan is defeated and bound. Satan is bound. 5/6 of the Antichrist's army and the nation's army are slaughtered, and their blood fills the valley of Megiddo like a slaughtering trough, that it runs to the horse's bridle. Jesus throws the Antichrist and the false prophet alive into the lake of fire, slays the rest of the wicked army with the sword, binds Satan, casts him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Fulfills the promise that he said through the prophets and the Bible writers. Makes all the unclean spirits and demons and fallen angels pass from the earth. Reserves them in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. And begins to possess the earth, having already possessed the heavens and reclaiming them. Gathers the nations, separates the goat nations from the sheep nations, destroys the goat nations and allows the sheep nations to become a part of his kingdom, to go into the 1,000-year reign. For 1,000 years with his saints, he reigns upon the earth with a rod of iron. The law is in effect again. After 1,000 years, Satan is loosed again. Some would say, why? To try the nation, for in those 1,000 years, other generations have been born. They, being free moral agents, must also be tried and proven and tested. Again, the magic of the tempter seems to work, and he deceives the nations. He gathers them from the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, for one last attack against Jesus and the saints in Jerusalem. And when he marshals all of the nation armies around Jerusalem and Jesus to destroy, as it were, Jesus and the saints, and to regain his kingdom, God the Father opens the heavens and sends his fire and burns up all of the armies of the nations. Satan is cast forever in the lake of fire, where the false prophet and Antichrist are, the Bible said in Revelations, and have been in torment for 1,000 years. Satan joins them and shall continue with them, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. God sets up his white throne of judgment and calls all the wicked dead from all ages, all fallen angels reserved in Tarsus, the prison of the angels. Judges all of the wicked dead, all the rebels of his kingdom, finds them guilty, for their name is not in the Lamb's book of life, pronounces the judgment. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the second death, the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Thus, he has done away with sin, satisfied the righteous demands of his law through the obedience and sacrificial love gift death of his son Jesus. Defeated Satan and his princely rulers, recaptured the kingdoms of the princes of the power of the air, recaptured the dominion of the earth, destroyed the rebels, judged the rebels, cast the rebels in hell. Now, according to his promise, fulfills the promise. For we look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and he renovates the heaven and the earth. Brings the capital city, paradise, down, and becomes Emmanuel, God with us. He reigns as the Most High with Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the saints reigning with him on the thrones, sitting in that great mount of congregation, and all of his creatures brought back in harmony, brought back in unity and love and grace. Jesus, the rightful, the great priest that is worthy, as the saints cried in Revelation, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and dominion and power. He's worthy to take the place from where Satan fell. He's worthy to receive our worship and our praise. Redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. Made us kings and priests with our God. We shall reign with him forever, and as priest, we shall lead the worship of God's creatures in praises of anthems to him forever and ever. Rebellion is done away with, sin is done away with, the rebel is done away with, Satan is done away with. God's kingdom is brought back in harmony and peace. God has benefited by the fall, for he has a special, tried, proven, ruling people, even his sons, that are worthy to walk with Jesus in white, worthy to sit on thrones, worthy to receive power and glory and dominion, because they have passed the test and have been faithful in the least, and God is now making them the ruler in the most, and God is not ashamed to call them his children and sons, and to be their father, and to turn the kingdoms over. He's not apprehensive, knowing that they'll never rebel. They'll never rise up in insurrection and rebellion, because he has tried them and proven them and tested them, and they have passed. And they are satisfied to be his sons, satisfied to be the brethren of Jesus, satisfied, overwhelmed, and grateful to be kings and priests, and recognize that he is the only wise the only noble, the only good, the only perfect, the only great God worthy to reign and rule forever and ever. And as the great storytellers put it, and we can add, and with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, they live happily ever after.
Amen. What a revelatory message on Satan's complete defeat by God's servant, Brother Hardy. In this classic teaching, Brother Hardy has answered by the scriptures, who was Lucifer? Who is Satan? Who is the devil? Where did he come from? Is he a god in the sense of deity, being self-existing, self-maintaining, and possessing omnipotence? And just how much power can he exert on earth? When you realize that Satan is not a god, but a created being, then you understand that he is limited. God did not create him to be the devil. He was created as Lucifer, which means light-bearer, and was the wisest and most beautiful of God's angels. He was the anointed cherub who led the heavenly worship team. But his own self-focus on his superlative beauty became distorted with pride, and iniquity corrupted his wisdom. When he fell, or rather was kicked out of heaven by Michael the archangel and his faithful angels, he took one-third of the angels with him in his rebellion. Now some people think the devil is all-powerful, but he's only a created being whom God created and has complete mastery over. And not only that, but Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10:18-19, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. You need to add this inspirational, informative, and timeless subject to your spiritual audio library. Find out what Satan does not want you to know about him and how he operates through the spiritual realm. This devil-chasing message, Satan's Complete Defeat, is on a 2-CD set for a love gift of $15 for the radio ministry. Request offer 128. Mail to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or order online at rghardy.org, where you can also order this message on MP3. Again, the offer number is 128 for the 2-CD set, Satan's Complete Defeat, for a minimum love gift of $15. Mail to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Till next time, this is Sharon Knott saying, Maranatha.